Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien Podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Supercoach podcast, powered by our partners at Code Sports. On with me, Chizo, tonight to talk all things Supercoach. Just in case people forget, as you can hear him giggling in the background, it is Pistol. How are you, mate? And how was your week?
I was doing...
That good, hey?
I mean, I felt like I was...
You had to compose yourself.
I felt like I was going to say good, and then it just... The wave of all of the dockety news has just kind of hit me in the background right before I started to talk. And then I'm like, am I still good? I don't know if I am still good. I'm upset. Does that count? But yeah, look, my week, Supercoach week-wise, wasn't too bad. 2-1-3-3. Made some good trade decisions, I guess. Last week, and then some good rookie fielding ones. I think I won the rookie roulette this week, which was nice. And then, you know, hovered. I didn't really change rank at 8K, just kind of hovered. But I then kept Doherty, and I have suffered like most of us, but it's real bad for me because I've traded every week because of injuries, and now I'm going to be down 10 trades, which... And still have yet to make an upgrade. So I'm in big trouble for long term.
Yeah.
Like, it's just gone from bad to worse, getting Darcy Cameron last week. And yeah, it's just not good.
What an ache that was. That it's just the season that just keeps giving is 2023. Just every week it's got a new surprise around the corner. I'm waiting for the ones that are like not... bags of turds lit on fire in our porch and then someone playing Ding Dong Ditch. I'm waiting for like... trick or treat, and they give us candy. I don't know where that was going. My brain is fried from how many trade like scenarios they've gone through to try and fix this team, and I've actually come to the conclusion, I've used a supercomputer, I've used Pistol's brain, we've decided it can't be fixed.
It's just done. Season over. Bye-bye. Farewell. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
I had a 2079. I didn't necessarily lose rookie roulette, but I had Wilmot and Cowan fighting over 1 point between them. I had McKenzie, Hollands, Baker, and Davey all scoring within like one hand pass of each other. And I had, just like the rest of us, I had Fergus Green 70 on the bench over Chandler's 59. So I wouldn't necessarily say that I lost rookie roulette for 18 points, whatever it turns out being. I was thankful to have a decent captaincy score this week in English. I don't know why I went with a VC Laird again and not going with Dacos. I just need to learn that Laird is not trustworthy this year, Pistol. He is not getting the VC for me on Thursday night. I don't care if he goes 180 to teach me a lesson. It's not happening. I need to see some improved form, Laird, before you get on that bench and you think about what you've done, which is what he's been doing all season, Pistol, because every time I look at him to see if he's going to get a touch in the centre, he's on the bench. Please explain.
No, I mean, he's got his usual rest points at about 13 minutes left.
No. He's resting at important times of the game where I'm expecting CBAs from him.
So are we doing captaincy
first? Don't tell you everything!
Your captaincy, huh? Are you doing English into Dacos then? Is this captaincy first at the beginning of the podcast?
No, I'm not revealing that until captaincy at the end of the podcast.
I think it's going to be English into Dacos based on what you...
It's going to be English into Dacos,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. That's what it sounds like. Did you want to take us through the minor amounts of housekeeping before we jump into the critical dockety decisions? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Over at Patreon, we've got one sign-up this week. We've got Luke Kemmelfield, who has signed up. Thank you for joining, Luke. And we've got three new donations to the Cancer Council. Dennis D says, Footscray are gods, and Dennis saw it live.
Thanks, Dennis.
Awesome stuff, Dennis. Thank you. Spicer's got two donations, one for round three. Oh, God, do I have to read this out word for word, Pistol?
Yes.
Danaher snagged 0.4, and at Tom G and at the Woody Pod guessed him.
Woody Pod.
DeGoey snagged three behinds, and at Adam T guessed him. Ash Johnson, Tom Lynch, Charlie Kerno, Jeremy Cameron, Oscar Allen, Ed Langdon, Joel Amati all snagged three behinds too. Then we had a few goals scored by defenders such as Sam Doherty, Jordan Dawson, Charlie Ballard, and Hayden Young. And he also has donated for round four. He says,
I think the
four big threes, big O.
The goal of last week was to pick someone who would kick three behinds or more, of which a handful of people selected. And this week's challenge, he said, would be to pick people who had at least four freeze four, and that was the challenge. And let's see how many people guessed correctly this week, Cheezo.
I like how you just had to break that up.
Yeah,
four freeze four, big O, which Pistol guessed correctly.
Thank you.
I wonder
very
why
much.
you stepped in there on top of
me. I was the only Nathan person Murphy to guess a player correctly this week, so I just wanted to put it out there.
Okay. Nathan Murphy, John Noble, LDU, Charlie Kerno, Caleb Sarong, Aaliyah Aaliyah, Todd Marshall, Pete Laddams, James Rowbottom, Jai Newcomb, and Defender Goals. We've got Darcy Wilmot, Wayne Miller, Jack Sinclair, Nick Blakey, Ollie Florent, and Mason Redman. Fantastic. Thank you for the donations, Spicer.
And for the games.
Pistol.
It's good fun.
It is good
I'm
fun.
I'm enjoying it,
day.
Yeah.
Pistol, you've got an update for the last coach standing, which is 2 weeks in, I now believe.
It is 2 weeks in. We lost 42 coaches this week. Safety score of 2019, I believe it was. Yeah. Was enough to secure passage into the next round. So, yeah, 451 people left. We'll be culling, hopefully, 42 of them this week, and we'll see what happens.
Did you cull TP?
No, he survives.
Oh. He seems to get culled every week somehow, and he's always still in the bracket.
No. It's
Can you comment on allegations that there's been some cheating this year? People have been trying to join the group after being kicked out, thinking you won't notice.
No, we've got the Tristan Webster anti-cheat technology.
Anti-cheat technology!
Built in. No one is able to... Well, they can, but they'd be found out pretty quick and then removed again. So please don't do that because it wastes my time. It's just my wording of the sentence structure got picked up, which was fair enough. I did forget a comma, so it sounded like you could jump back in, but you can't. So please don't.
All right. Pistol, we'll jump into some Supercoach relevant content. People are
beautiful.
That 30-second fast-forward button for about 5 minutes now. we've got the biggest news is Sam Doherty is going to be out for a month to 6 weeks with a meniscal injury, meniscal tear that had to undergo surgery in the last couple of days. So he's going to be a definite trade this week. I'm going to put this out there, Pistol, that there is like a range of variants that we expect based on a set of data that we have. We've got 150 games of data with Sam Doherty, and I don't think there's many people out there that would have had the cojones to say that he would perform or score as he has so far this year and then ended up being injured. Like, this is by far one of the worst starting options I've ever had, and I don't necessarily think it's entirely predictable. I think this ends up being in the unpredictability realm.
Yeah, sometimes you cop it. I mean, last week copying it when you get Darcy Cameron, but he's scoring well. I'm like, well, at least he scored well and he made money. And then I feel a little bit better about it. But Doherty scoring badly and losing money and then getting injured. It's like, oh, no. This just has gone from bad to worse. And I think there's probably a fair few people in like me where, I mean, straight off the bat, I think the obvious solution is if you have money in the bank and you can straight trade up, you know, and you can get to a minimum Tom Stewart, you're feeling like, okay, well, you know, not the end of the world. But there's going to be people that's in a similar situation as myself where you just don't have the money in the bank and you're like, what do I do now? This does not feel like a two-trade, you know, solution, especially with trades already have been burnt by, you know, by the week. It's not fun. I'm already stressing about how I'm going to complete my team. As I said early in the pod, we've done the 26 trades and still have yet to make an upgrade. It's not pretty. It's not going to be a good end to the season. And that's not fun to look forward to.
Yeah, and if we just go through the most popular trades at the moment, the most popular is Doherty to Dawson, Doherty to Stewart, Doherty to Dacos, Doherty to Luke Ryan, and Doherty to Jake Lloyd. There seems to be a lot of people that have enough cash to pretty much just straight swap Doherty, and I'm not in that camp. So this is a very, very painful situation for me, Pistol. I guess the first thing I want to hear your thoughts, like obviously if given the option, you're going to be trying to replace him with someone that should be a long-term keeper. You're not trying to be penny-pinching this early in the season, even though you are talking about, like, how am I going to finish my team? You know, like, you're going up to get, say, a Jordan Dawson, you need, what is it, 60 or 70K or something like that. Maybe
90K,
more.
100K, yeah.
90K, there you go. So at your stage, you've mentioned that you're already foreshadowing that you're going to run out of trades without being able to finish your team because of the carnage so far. Is that causing you to orientate your trading so far this round in a particular fashion, or are you totally open to doing a double trade and just getting the best defender that you don't have?
I think there's two ways. There's two ways to go here. You're either penny pinching, but to like a relative extreme, I think. So getting in somebody who, you know, you're banking at least 60K and they're going to be a keeper, and that person would probably have been Will Day had he not been suspended for 2 weeks, and that would have been an option that I'd look at, because then I can use that money to fund my next upgrade and try and, you know, get some good value in my team while also improving my team. And yes, he may not have been top six, but he would have been, you know, in that top 8 to 10 range probably. But now he's off the table, so there's other options that you could jump onto, sort of the Rioli range. I mean, if you read the Code article last week, you would have seen Tom Barris's numbers without McGovern in the side, and he's come through with the goods again last week. By far, not a sexy pick at all, but it's hard to argue with the data. You know what, Cheese? I'm going to read out Tom Barris's ends of the last... I'm going to read out his last 9 games because people are unaware, and I was quite shocked when I went through it until I read the article last week. It's just way better than I thought, and it just feels like such a unsexy pick that I can't imagine people will do it, but his numbers speak for themselves.
Sounds like your number one suggestion, so I can't wait to hear about him being talked about first, so let's go.
149, 132, 109, 104, 126... 83, and then this season he's had a 103, 34, 110, 116. So he's had one absolute stinker that's rocked his price down.
Rocked him to the core.
Absolutely dropped him to 480K. But all those other numbers are fantastic. And McGovern's out with a TBD long-term hammy tendon issue. So we don't know how long he's out for. So I'm expecting good scores from Barris, but I'm terrified of that pick because it's not the usual, you know, halfback, I'm going to be collecting the ball 30 times a game sort of selection. You get someone who's getting like 18 touches a game and he's just tonning up and having like good scores most weeks for getting a lot of marks and spoils and contested possessions and stuff like that. But I don't want to waste too much more time talking about I guess the cheaper options like Lloyd, like they're fine, but at this stage of the season when you've got some of these real top five defenders that are cheaper, so Tom Stewart's already lost quite a bit of money. James Sicily is losing money fast because of that 76 is at 580k. Sinclair as well, he's in that similar price range. I think while we can get them, we probably should just take them at their somewhat discounted price. I feel less convinced on paying up for somebody like Jordan Dawson. This might be a hot take, Chizo, but he had a fantastic game and he looked unbelievable and he was hitting tight. He couldn't miss. You know, he's like
96% disposal efficiency, I think.
Incredible. Like, he's such a truly amazing player. But his games before that, 97, 110, 114, I feel like I'm talking from last year because Tom Stewart did the same thing and then he just exploded, and Dawson could definitely do that again. But the fixtures are not quite there for Adelaide. You've got Carlton, which is relatively tough. Hawthorn, easy. Collingwood, Geelong, St Kilda, Bulldogs, Brisbane. It's just not a super easy run. And I just don't feel comfortable paying, you know, 60k more for Dawson over somebody like Tom Stewart, who really should average similar. And when the value options present, I think you just take it. And I'll if I have to get Dawson, I'll get him, you know, in 5 weeks' time when that 173 falls out of his you know, price cycle, and he'll drop a bit in price. You can't get those points. Like, you've already missed that 173. So I would feel more comfortable trying to pick off the value picks, especially when I'm trying to finish my team and I'm unsure about how that's going to work, than paying all the way up for Jordan Dawson. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't want to be the politician here and do doublespeak and trying to put it back on you, but I definitely asked you like what your preference was out of the two. And you said there was two ways, and you've named Barras and Jordan Dawson.
No, so I said don't do the Jordan
Dawson
way.
I've got to say, you're flowing like a river. There's lefts and there's rights, and you're going to get to the end location, I'm sure of it. Look, I'm in a position where I can't simply go up and get one of the big guns. I can't afford Tom Stewart. I can't afford Sinclair, Ryan, Sicily, Saad, Dawson, none of these guys. So I'm faced with a position where, is it worthwhile using two trades to go up to someone like Dawson, go up to someone like Saad, who, if you look at his numbers last year, let's take Saad, for example. He averaged like 110 without Zach Williams last year, and he's averaging 115 to start the year. So it's interesting that he seems to be the beneficiary. The thing for me is, what I'm trying to get out of you is, do you see enough value and enough options that are like-for-like replacements? Say a Jake Lloyd, who is really playing well to start the year, but he's not going back to that 115-plus Jake Lloyd that we once knew. Like, I think, best-case scenario, he goes 100 flat this year, like pretty much just averaging what he's currently averaging. Do you see enough value and enough options below Sam Doherty's price that someone like me can afford to prevent me having to do two trades? That's what I'm trying to dig down to, because my instinct is telling me downgrade your worst rookie or your worst cash generating option, which for me is Liam Jones, to get someone like Tom Stewart, who is a 600k defender that has dropped in price, has a relatively like low break even over the next few weeks. He's going to go up in price over the course of the season, so you are getting him underpriced. Is it worth doing two trades to get an extra 50k to do that? Or is someone like a Jake Lloyd or a Mason Redmond, a Liam Baker, these types, Daniel Rioli, do they have enough upside in them to make a one trade worthwhile? Because I think that's going to be one of the key discussion points this week. As I said, my instinct is telling me that I need to be going up because I don't like the look of, let's take Mason Redmond, for example. I think he's going to be great. I think he's taken too many points off Ridley to make Ridley viable this year. But they're going to chop and change. Ridley will have a good game, Redmond won't. Redmond will have a good game, Ridley won't. And it's probably going to average out to like 98 to 103 sort of range. And I'm not entirely sure that like it's necessarily value. I'm just picking a worse, like a better premium than what Doherty's been so far this year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to define value
Yeah.
Where, and I'm going to use numbers for it because I think it might make it clear what I was trying to say. And that's, if you pick somebody like Redmond or Lloyd at the around the 500k mark and they're averaging about 100, and I expect them to average probably around 100 for the rest of the year, maybe a bit less, but let's just say 100 for ease of numbers. That is really similar value to paying up 570 for Stewart if you're expecting Stewart to average, you know, 113, 114. That, in terms of points per dollar, you're paying pretty much the same amount. So the term value, they're the same value. Value is not based on, I guess it is based on price, but that's one of the variables. It's based on the score, output, and the price. So value-wise, they're the same. So I would rather get the top six sort of bloke if I'm getting the same value. However, why I mentioned Will Day earlier is because he looks like he's going 100, but he's 450K. So you get that's a real value selection. That's better value, like another tier of value than these other guys. And that's where I probably would have gone if Will Day wasn't suspended, but he is. And yes, there's guys like Haynes that are available at 400K who's, you know, averaging 96. But the issue is, if I'm trading out Doherty, I want to get a keeper, and I'm not sure somebody like Haynes is going to be a keeper. So I'm ruling out the non-keepers for me, and I'm just looking at the keepers. Will Day was probably the cheapest value keeper, and then all these other guys are similar value. And if that's the case, I'm just going to get the best available, which would be Tom Stewart. If you have Tom Stewart, then you could probably look within that range, but you could probably get a Sinclair, even though he's going to drop another 20K next week. I just don't see players like Redmond going that much more than his average of 101. You know, he's...
Yeah.
I don't think he'll average 101 for the year. I think he'll be just on the underside of that, for example.
Yeah.
So, I think that's kind of how I was trying to answer the question. But, Chizo, it matters a lot about how you're freeing up that cash with your second trade, because as with everything, there's good trades and there's bad trades. Now, I'm going to talk very broadly here with a larger issue at hand, and that's just about the rookies that are on the horizon and the rookies and kind of how I see the game moving in the next couple of rounds. And that would be that the rookies that are coming through, I don't have a lot of faith in. I think they have iffy job security, iffy scoring potential, and I don't see any of them having long-term holds in the side. I mean, some have potential for it, but it's risky. There's no guarantee there. There's no like slam dunk rookie trading. I think your best case rookie that's on the bubble this week is probably Van Ruijen, just because he adds something a little bit different to that Melbourne forward line. And I think he should play ahead of Tom McDonald if I was choosing a side. That's kind of how I would be choosing it. But if Tom McDonald's going to hit form, and you know, Gawn comes back in 2 weeks and Ben Brown has to play because he's been their best forward this year, you know, someone has to make way, and it definitely might be Van Ruijen. So there's even an asterisk on him. My concern is some people are trading out players like Jinbi. I think that's the one that I've seen the most. Probably some are looking at Cederfield, some are looking at Hopper, and trading out them and bringing in these like dicey rookies. And I just think, well, what happens if the ones on, you know, nothing comes through? Are you going to end up playing at your M8 spot? You're going to play, you know, Cam McKenzie or Alwyn Davey? Or are you going to end up with a Fergus Green on your field because you've just, you know, culled these playing good guys and you're left
to... Hey, good this week? Good this week?
Yeah. You see Cowan at D6. And these are the players that like really hurt your Supercoach score. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want those guys on field. And I'm thinking that it's possible we just might need to settle a little bit, play it a little slower than other seasons, because we currently have the best rookies in our side. That's why they played round one. They are at less of a sub risk than other rookies to be subbed, to start as a sub or to end as the sub, than any rookie that's coming in now, because otherwise, you know, they would have played round one. So we've got the good guys at the moment, so I'd be very hesitant in trading out these good rookies for poor rookies. If I wanted to do that, I'd probably look to move bench rookies for bench rookies rather than field rookies for bench rookies.
Yeah. Yep.
And now I'm wrapping all that in a tight little bow, because when you need that second trade to free up cash, I don't think I would be recommending trading out someone like Jinbi, because he could, that 40 that he just scored can definitely come out of his price cycles, three-game price cycle. He just needs to play, you know, 5-6 more games, and he's probably going to be over the 300K mark. Like, he's still got cash to make. And I feel very, very similarly about Setterfield. I know his break even currently is sitting at 85, and he's just put out an 82 and an 87. But he was benched for like 10 minutes when the game was on the line this week. He had, I think it was 3 tackles that should have been holding the ball that weren't, like quite clearly. And this was a 100-plus game gone begging. He looks much better than that 87 of this week. And
he
is somebody I think will crack the 500K mark. So do I really want to get rid of him? I know he's got a tough draw up ahead. Melbourne, Collingwood, Geelong. Not great at all. But he's still somebody who can score well, I think, regardless of fixtures, just because of the tackle numbers and those contested ball numbers. So don't I want to hold him for, you know, 5 more weeks or something like that? I don't really feel like downgrading him to a rookie and upgrading Doherty. I feel like that's just going to, I'm going to lose points over the next, you know, 5 weeks if I do that trade. So the only people I really feel comfortable in culling is, you know, the non-playing rookies, or somebody like Liam Jones, whose break-even's 35, and it's just becoming harder and harder to field him when he's scoring worse than a rookie, Chizo. That's the only option I'm kind of seeing as like a standing out to me. I want to be holding these people like Fergus Green, because they're making money at the moment. I don't really want to be culling any of these guys early. So I'm not saying it's Liam Jones or bust, but I'm sure there's other players I can't think of off the top of my head that are in that Liam Jones range. But then my question to you becomes, is who do you even trade him for?
That's a brilliant, brilliant question. You've already touched on JVR, which would obviously be the best in terms of like break even and potential cash generation. But as you've mentioned, Gawn's just been updated to a 1 to 2 week proposition. Tom McDonald, I think he kicked 5 in the VFL or something like that.
Ben Brown was out. He was good.
Yeah. And Ben Brown had that back thing that's only going to improve with a bit of a rest. So like the only other option that you've sort of got as a bargain basement price is like Tyler Brockman, who's literally just come off at 25, I think. So it's like,
there's nothing
really on the horizon in terms of two-game rookies that is really jumping out and screaming, "Hey, trade me in." And so I guess just to summarize your point, you're sort of saying, if you've got a rookie that's got really good job security, not really a sub risk, and is clearly a fieldable option like Jinbi, you wouldn't be moving them on just because they've got a 40 in their price cycle, or McKenzie because they've got a 49 in their price cycle. You'd be looking at getting at least someone who's on the bench out of there, or someone like Liam Jones, who's clearly a failed pick, scoring less than Cowan and Wilmot, who sit on the bench and do it that way. Because when you think about it, if you trade Jinbi to an absolute spud, Cowan and Wilmot have to come onto the field until that position is upgraded and they get like, they get culled, whereas like even if Jinbi's rested this week, I know Simpson said that he looked a little tired and it was sort of like flagging maybe he gets a week off, and you bring Wilmot on for 1 week and then Jinbi comes back, like you only had to have Wilmot on the field for 1 week, whereas he's like potentially on the field for the next 6 while you're waiting to fill other holes and upgrade around him.
He's averaging 76 with that 40, Jinbi.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's Ashcroft's averaging 78.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, no one, I haven't heard anyone talk about trading him out. You know, it's just people have short memories, I guess. You just remember that last week. And that's true, because it factors into the price cycle, but you can hold them for longer than that. I think, as you said, what's his name? Tyler Young.
Oh, Young.
Yeah.
Two Tylers.
Two Tylers. Is probably the option there with Tarrant going down in the VFL. You've got Tyler Young, but it's not, well, I don't think he's got 100K left in him. He's probably got 50K left in him. and then you're trading Jones to Young. It's not a super inspiring move that you've got there. I mean, maybe Sincotta will be named for Doherty, maybe. But I'm still worried. They had, you know, a bunch, half a dozen injuries. They've got, what is it, Kennedy, Akers, Walsh all coming in as well. There's no guarantees. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I think Williams from Port played and he looked pretty good, but you still have Burton to come back in the side. So I'm not 100% sure how they're going to line up. He might be an option, but none of these guys I feel super comfortable with. I think freeing up cash is really hard. It might not be possible, Chiso. It might be a way in which you just have to do Doherty down to somebody and pick, you know, the best guy available, which is not...
It's the circle of life. We've gone through the rookies and we're back to deciding whether we should use one or two trades on Doherty. I love it, mate. I love the journey that we've been on. You and I often say we go off the tracks. And the train has been decoupled and then landed on a... It fell off.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cliff and landed on another train track set below. I absolutely love it. I think that's been really, really insightful in terms of... I think I'm seeing a lot of reactionary trades, particularly like even in Slack, let alone like on Twitter and stuff like that, where people are like, they want to get rid of the rookie who's got like a bit of an iffy score in their rolling average, but they have the highest price. So let's take an Ashcroft or a Jinmi. It's like, I can do the most with their money, therefore they're going. Whereas I think a really simple exercise, and I'm a pen and paper guy, Pistol, I'm not an Excel spreadsheets visually inside your mind, like you don't even have to click buttons, you can just do all the calculations in your head. I'm a pen and paper, and I literally like to write like a couple weeks' time what my rookies are projected to have made. And then I'm looking at the one guy like Liam Jones who's projected to make like go down in price. I'm like, okay, he's the clear standout for me. He's not in my team as a premium. He's there to generate cash. If he's the guy that's making the least amount of cash out of everyone, Fergus Green's making more than him, Davey's making more than him, Cowan's making more than him, then he's the obvious one for me to go. I don't necessarily really care so much about what his price is. Obviously, they need to be expensive enough to do something with, but that's just a little exercise that I do to try and time when I'm going to be getting rookies out, because there's every opportunity that a lot of these rookies are going to be, unless they have a spike price, they're going to be sort of topping out at a very similar time, like all these guys that have played since round one. So I think if you've got some idea of some projection about, okay, this guy is getting really close to his top, I'm going to get rid of him, or like Cowan, for example, is going to be peaking the same time as McKenzie, but he's scoring way less. So the 10 grand you'll make with Cowan versus the 30 grand you make with McKenzie means that Cowan's the one that you get rid of. I think it's a really simple exercise just to go through your rookies and say which are not serving their purpose in my team, and then go through that way rather than saying, okay, I want to do this. I want this player. Who is the rookie that I need to get out? Oh, I can only do it with this one expensive guy like Jinbi. I'm going to trade him. I think that's the wrong way to go around it. You're retrofitting the rookie into the situation rather than seeing what's best for your team and then seeing what you can do with the available cash from there, if that makes sense.
So we'll add something that will be, I guess, a little hard to hear for those that are not ranking super well. And that's...
Okay, me, that's a direct shot, but, you know, we'll move past that.
It's not going to be super fun in the next couple of weeks without good rookies, because not
So you've been having fun up until this point?
Well, I mean, I'm not having fun at 8K.
here we go.
It's not. I'm hating life opening Supercoach. You know, it's fine. I think if I was ranked, you know, 30K at this stage of the season, and I saw that there's no real rookies on the horizon, it sucks because you can't just be trading in rookies like, let's say, Josh Sinn and just saying, okay, well, he'll play in the future, so I'll take out my 120K here and I'll get an upgrade on the field because he might not play. And I guess that's a risk that you could be willing to take. But I think what I would do is try and come home hard rather than try and burn through the trades right now. And that it's really hard to play that way because it is upsetting seeing your rank stay high and consistently staying high for the next couple of weeks. But I subscribe to letting other people make mistakes and you, I guess, trading better. And if people are going to be swapping around all their rookies right now, you know, people will bring in Samson Ryan and he might be fine because he's got the job security, even though it's no guarantee that to score well. But if you let people take those risks when you don't need to, they could be gone from one rookie to it. They could use three trades on one rookie. And I know there's a lot of teams in the top 1K right now that have at least three non-playing rookies. And they're going to be sideways trading these guys to other guys that have, you know, poor security. You know, if I didn't have Doherty, for example, I would have been sitting on my hands this week. There's no way I would have been doing a trade. I just would have let the team roll and see how we go. So if you are losing faith, which I totally understand, it's hard if you have had a poor start. I'm sorry because it's still not going to be easy for the next couple of weeks. But if you be very careful with your trades, I think where you're going to come home strong, it's the buyers onwards. That's the time to strike. The buyers this year are going to be extra hard now that people are burning trades left, right, and center with the sideways trading, with the injuries trades. I mean, I'm going to be down, as I said, 10 trades. And the buys where I had planned to boost in that final bye week and, you know, sideways trade some players to get through the round 15 bye, I'm not going to be able to do that anymore because I just don't have the trades for it. So that's where you strike. You know, you make sure you've got the best buy plan possible, and that's the time to, you know, make up the ground on everybody as well. And it's not, I mean, Chiso, you enjoy a good Chiso chase down, but you gotta be patient.
It's patented for a reason.
You gotta be patient. It's the timing is everything in that, and waiting for the right rookies and waiting for the right players. We have an extra round this year, which I know sounds a bit lame, but the season is longer, and you know it's, you've got that extra round to jump up a lot the rankings towards the end of the year. Because as far as I can tell, people are not really taking that into consideration at all. So Chiso, one of the moves I'm eyeing off this week is somebody that has no Liam Jones and no rookies that are available.
Ooh, this
to downgrade.
Is gonna be spicy.
I brought in JVR last week because I was 1K short of doing to get English and Phillips for Cameron and whoever else I traded out. Liam Jones.
I think I was 2K short. I did the exact same move.
Yeah, I had Liam Jones. I traded out and Darcy Cameron, and I was 1K short of Phillips. So I brought in JVR, and I don't have a downgrade option at all this week. I'm looking, and this might be a bit of a surprise, I'm looking at trading out Rory Laird, which I think is a bit controversial because he... I don't think he's looked bad, but I don't think he's looked good either. The way I see it at the moment is he is likely to still finish in those top eight midfielders. I don't think he is a trade out. I'm desperate situation where I need to find 20K, and there's a player that I think looks good that I want to get that I don't own that helps me in the buys. So I'm looking at Tuk Miller with that round 13 buy that will save me a trade in round 15, I'm sure, just because it eases all the buys, so I'll score more through that. But the thing with Laird specifically is that it's a faster game style that I'm seeing from Crows. I mean, you add Rochelli into the midfield and suddenly you've got this spark. You've got this energy. I mean, Rankin has added a lot as well. Their midfield mix, I mean, the slow boys, Barry and Schoenberg, have not been getting bulk midfield time like that they did last year, towards the end of the year. I mean, Laird's still getting the same. His role is fine. But when you're injecting that sort of pace through the midfield, you're matching how the other AFL teams are playing, where you get the ball forward at all costs, and Laird's tackle numbers are down. And I am still unsure. It's only 4-game sample size. I'm just unsure if that is variance or if that's going to continue based on game style. I don't know the answer. I just have a gut feeling that instead of, you know, I'm picking Rory Laird at the beginning of the season thinking he might go, you know, 125 plus, and I'm looking at him now and I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's going 110 plus. I can't guarantee he's going to go 115 plus. And this is an opportunity where I can bring in somebody who I'm quite sure is going to go 115 plus, and help me through the buyers as well. So the downside feels a little bit low. I need to use a trade anyway, so I could bring in somebody like Tom Stewart. That's where I'm looking at. Doesn't mean I'm locked into that at all. Pending teams, who knows what will happen. Might get a rookie. But it's just something I'm playing around with. But by no means am I looking to do like Laird to Oliver or anything like that. That would just cost more money. And I still believe in Laird. So yeah, that's kind of where my thoughts are going, Chizo.
So is it a situation where you're expecting Laird to drop out of the top eight, or you're going to pick him up for cheaper as the year goes on?
I'll just reassess where he's going to go throughout the year. I mean, look, he...
Pistol the fence sitter. Gotta love him.
No, I'll reassess as he goes. I mean, as I mentioned before, the draw for Adelaide's not ideal coming up. Carlton, yep. Hawthorn, Collingwood, Geelong, Saints, Bulldogs, Brisbane. I mean, it's really not ideal. After the bye, it opens up a little bit more. But yeah, I want to see more from... I haven't been in love with what I've seen. Let's just put it that way. Most teams are playing faster paced football, and it is impacting the midfields as a whole. Like if we look, if I open
how
my
many
tab,
midfielders are averaging like 110 plus? It's like,
well, not many.
Bugger all, and it's like players that were relevant 6 years ago or aren't actually relevant. Like, it's weird. It's proper weird. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, that's part of the reason is, you know, I'm looking players averaging over 111. There's 7 midfielders. Like we've had times where there's been like 12 over 110 or over the same period. There's just and the ones that are there are LDU, Oliver, Tom Liberatore, Scott Pendlebury, Took Miller, Josh Kelly, Patrick Cripps. They're the ones going over 111. And then if I were to include the next lot, you've got De Goey, Mason Wood, Tim Kelly, Tom Green, Treloar. I mean, it's a big drop off. I think you'll see Laird push into that, you know, bracket, at the very least that secondary bracket, at the best the top bracket. But he's just a lot of money at the moment, whereas I am stressing a little bit about finishing the team, so looking at that. There are some players like Warner, who's like 500K. I mean, if you're into Mason Wood, I'm not going to try sell him to you, but the numbers are there. He's looking like a Brownlow medalist at the moment at 480K. The numbers support it. It's just that's way too risky.
The numbers support him being a Brownlow medalist.
I mean, numbers support him
being
a
Supercoach selection. Can I get a sound clip for that?
The Supercoach selection. He's he's looking like a, you know, 105 plus mid. You can still pick him up for 480K. I mean, that's good value right there. So if you're picking value selections, he could be one. But yeah, what a weird year, Chizo.
What a massively weird year. Like Brayshaw doing 94. We got Titch doing 101. That's a bit of an... You got Merritt doing 101, Mills doing 101, McRae doing 102, Laird 102, Parrish 103, Neil 103, Petrarca 104.
These are low. Like, this is this bad.
I'm literally unable to compute so many premium 115 midfielders averaging a ton or less this year. It is bizarre. It is really bizarre. And then, like you mentioned before, is this variance or is this a competition wide where every club is trying to move it faster? I think we see most games do. You do see teams moving it fast, but surely it cannot be impacting the top tier midfielders by as much as 20 points per game from their average. They can't slingshot it past them to that extent for the entirety of the year, can you? That's not a thing, right?
I think the way it will work is teams will kind of figure it out and slow down, you know, halfway through the season, and we'll get that sort of shift where the big boys start coming through. But I can't guarantee that. All I can do is just look at what's in front of me. My gut feel is there will be a shift, and they can't keep up the fast pace throughout the whole year. But at the moment, it's complete madness. I mean, some of these... Yeah, I mean, Luke Ryan going 127 average, for example, is beyond bonkers. I think that at some stage those midfielders are going to come good, but it doesn't feel great having invested in them at, you know, 700k or so. Very quickly though, Chiesa, can I just make a... I'm going to keep talking a quick note on Oliver for those that don't have him still.
Oh, he's going to start playing halfback now?
No, probably not. Salem's not back, is he? He's on the... You've got the injury list on you. Pretty sure he's, you know, 3 to 5 weeks away, so we've got some time. I just want to keep reminding people, because I know it hurts every time he goes 120-plus when you don't own him. But you just have to remember, if he's scoring 121, that's bad value for his price. Like, all he has... For him to be a... I guess if you're buying him at 700k, you need him to average, what is it, 127 or whatever it is. You need him to maintain that. So every time he doesn't hit that average, that's a win, because you've invested that in your team. And assuming you've invested correctly, your players are hitting their price points. So overall, you're winning in terms of total points for your team over Oliver. I think you just... I feel like I'm going to need to remind people every week, because every week he's going to get 120 and people are like, I need to get the guy getting 120. And it's true. At some point, we'll need to get the guy 120 that's going 120, but we don't have to pay 710K for him to get a 120 average. That's poor value. That would be a bad move.
It's very, very close to 130 on a point. Of 5,300.
Yeah. Well, that's right. So at some stage as well, he will come down. And sure, if he's going 120s, that's fine. That's a win. I'm taking that as a win. The problem is when he goes to 150s. That's where it really hurts. Yep. You know, those fixtures are right there, and he definitely could go the 150s, could go the 200s, and that will sting a lot. You just got to pray and hope, I think, at that price point, unless you are genuinely expecting him to go 130+. But it's really hard in this day and age for players to go 130+. I would be surprised if anyone goes 130+, except for Tim English this year, because his scoring is just on another level.
On a different tier. He's not going to go 130+ this year, even, Pistol.
I think he will.
No, he's going to go 140+.
Oof. His score, I swear, was even unders. This is what it's like when you don't own him. You're like, he scores for nothing. And then when you own him, you're like, unders. he's just, scoring's on an absolute other level at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is fun to own. So, if you don't own him, I'd be more worried, because he's only priced at 648. It's much more reasonable when you got a guy with a season low of 134.
Yeah. I tell you what's interesting. When we had the moment before round three where people were trying to get Zeebel and Setterfield and these kind of guys in, Taranto was the sacrificial lamb for many people, because he wasn't going to price him out, or which, you know, is fairly true. But he's also the highest averaging forward of the big boys that we were considering to start the year. So it's just you've used sound reasoning and logic about which of the five forwards that a lot of us started with wasn't going to hurt us. And you've picked the one that's averaging the most after four rounds. Like, 2023 is weird, man. I think... The next thing we should probably jump into, Pistol, after that, our little digression there, is probably some of the DPP changes that we should expect after round five. Now, we're not going to go through every name that could potentially be on the list. Like, we get messages on Facebook and Twitter and stuff all the time. It's like, what about this obscure player for draft? It's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Sorry. But in terms of, like, our classic teams, the one that's starting defense, the one that's probably... most relevant to a lot of our teams is Wilmot. He's been playing a lot on the wing. I think he is going to be getting
a lot
mid DPP. And you know, last week I got rid of my mid defensive swing because I only had to get through 2 weeks without an injury and not having to need that swing. And unfortunately, because I lost it, like, I literally can't do Doherty to anything else. I have no flexibility. So Wilmot getting this DPP is going to be super helpful because he's still in my defense. I can't do anything with him. But no, it gives me the potential to start swinging some extra bits around. So you mentioned he's pretty much locked. We don't really need to touch too much on him. What are your thoughts on Cam McKenzie for the Hawks? He spent a lot of time in the preseason getting touches and CBAs and stuff like that, but not so much as the year has progressed.
Well, with Will Day copping the 2 weeks, I think you would expect Warple and McKenzie to be the beneficiaries of that.
Yeah.
And they should be getting more CBAs this week. So they both become holds just to see what they can do. I think that might potentially ruin McKenzie's DPP, but I'm not sure how much midfield time he'll get. So we'll see. Plus,
He's gone 52... He's gone 52, 25, 17, and 7. So they're decreasing as the rounds have gone off. If he gets so that's an average of 26
percent
CBA. Yeah. So it would seem like he's within the ballpark getting DPP. If he goes back and has another 50% CBAs because Will Day is out, who literally had 82 on the weekend, 82% highest in the team, we might not actually get that DPP from him. So it's going to really come down to just watching and waiting this week.
Yep. No, that's pretty much it. Who else have you got on your list?
The obvious ones for me is going to be Sheasel and Zeeble. I think they're the two obvious ones that a lot of us are going to have, and that's going to increase that flexibility that we have been talking about. It gives us the potential to trade any one of our rookies out and then use those DPPs to get them. Another one we've touched on, Day, is probably going to get midfield status even with the suspension. I think 4 games is enough to...
Yep.
Trigger the okay, yep, perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for. And Dawson, if he wasn't already, is Dawson... just defender only? No, I think he's going to get... he'll get mid-status as well, I'd imagine. Again, if he plays pure midfield like he has in the last 2 weeks.
Yep, well, that's nothing majorly incoming relevant. I think they said Bailey Smith is likely to get forward status. You know, given he's averaging 80s, maybe in the future, if he's role change, maybe he could be an option, but there doesn't seem to be anyone massively on the cards unless some crazy things happen and... You know, McRae plays fully forward and gets DPP. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe Petrarca, if he plays fully forward, we'll have to wait and see.
The interesting thing for Dawson, I know that we've mentioned it before, is that he is what I thought Doherty would be. That he would, from week to week, proposition he'd either play defense or midfield. This is Dawson's CBA numbers for the year. Ready? Round 1, 0. Round 2, 3. Round 3, 62. Round 4, 57. So he's literally, and that's a 31% average for the year. So if he plays defense this week, he's not going to get it. If he plays midfield this week, he's going to get it.
Yeah.
So like he literally turns up to the game and goes, "Coach, am I playing midfield or defense?" Whereas Doherty is just like, "Where do you want me in the first half of quarter one, coach?" and that's just absolutely killed him. So that's been the nice thing about Dawson as well, is that good at both roles. It's just whether, you know, which one he's playing on any given week. Pistol, do you have any other DPPs that are on the tip of your tongue that you can think of that might be relevant? I can't think of anything personally.
Not super relevant ones that I can think of.
Yeah, no, me either. I guess the next thing to talk about would be vice captains and captaincy options. Pistol, we've already mentioned at the top of the show that the really obvious choices would be English on the Saturday night against Port Adelaide into a Dacos on the Sunday night against St Kilda. Do you think there's any chances that Dacos gets tagged by the Saints?
Oh, yeah, there's a chance. There's definitely a chance.
Okay, a chance out of 100%. 30% chance. That's it.
That's a good chance. Well, only because Saints have the players that I think could do it, whereas most clubs I don't think have the players that can do it.
And I mean, Windager's been doing quote unquote like little jobs in the midfield, but he hasn't been doing like a lockdown tag like we saw in the preseason like practice. You reckon that would kill your draft team?
It would kill my draft team. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm leaning towards English into Dacos anyway as my captaincy. I guess Tom Green against Hawthorn without Will Day.
Yeah, it could be huge.
Might be, nice. Depending on weather, I guess if it's raining as well, it might be a really good one.
And McGuinness, if they actually use him as a tagger this year after demolishing Dacos in the preseason and then basically not playing as a tagger as the year has progressed.
Yeah, I assume they'll tag Josh Kelly, but maybe they'll tag Tom Green, I'm not sure. If it's raining, it might be good for Cornelio because then he won't need to hit a target.
Yeah, God.
So we'll see how that one goes. But look, if you have Oliver against Essendon, that's always going to be an absolute great option. You could probably do, I think that's probably your best play is Oliver into English.
Yeah.
I was going to say that I have to look at the time zones of the games, but the game is literally both at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah.
I mean,
It is too, one after the other.
Yeah.
Will the crowd even leave?
I wouldn't. I'd just
sit. Just sit there. How are they going to catch you? They're not going to come out and kick everyone out within 10 minutes, are they?
I don't know. Yeah, how do you do that with the tickets? You just buy a ticket. It's a day pass.
One ticket and then just hide underneath your seat until the crowd starts filling in.
Hide under your seat. Yeah, well, hopefully the weather holds up. But
hold on. This is Gather Round.
Yeah.
They're all at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much all.
So you get a ticket on Thursday night, take your sleeping bag, and you've got 9 games worth of footy.
Yeah, but then you got to eat.
Except for the Norwood Oval games.
You have to eat Adelaide Oval food, which doesn't sound appealing. Yeah, I think that's pretty much...
JV's so mad listening to this right now.
What about Marshall with Collingwood's no ruckman?
Oh, that's interesting. But if you've already got Dacos, why would you not go Marshall?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's true.
Most people have Dacos.
How good's Dacos?
Amazing.
It's 134.
It's incredible.
That's stupid numbers.
It's actually incredible.
He's only in his second year.
Nah,
it's averaging 134.
Insane.
It's like prime.
And he's not even playing midfield time, man. Like he's playing barely any mid time.
I don't know. He can do it all. It's pretty crazy. I'm just thinking of like how many players have averaged 134 in history, and I'm looking at like a 20-year-old that's currently. I mean, 4 game sample size, but it's been a bloody good 4 games.
Yeah, it's been huge. You could probably extend that if you count some of the back end of last year as well,
true,
when he was going nutso too.
Jeepers.
So, okay.
Dacos is a good example of holding on to a rookie when you've got a special, talented one. And I think, I mean, Jimby's not in the Dacos class, but if Jimby could average 80 this year, perhaps. I don't know. He had good scoring potential in pretty much every game he's played. Yeah. Just don't love trading him out when he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he looks great. Oh. Actually, looks great.
All right. Anyway. Thanks, Jizo.
I'm actually trying to look up and see if how do I find tackles? I'm trying to figure out if Jimby's still leading the tackles for the year.
For his club?
No, he was leading the AFL last round. Oh, he's in third place now. So the leader's with 33, then Atkins with 32, and then he's next with 31 tackles.
Yeah, that keeps your floor nice and high.
He's literally leading the AFL up until this week.
Yeah. Bugger. He's good. He's a really good player.
I'm depressed, man. Like, my team is so cooked. Like, can I catch a break? You know, like, this is getting a little bit, like, public display of affection. Like, I just want to give you a hug, Pistol. I just want you to reassure me that it's okay, that things will get better, and I won't just keep... Like, I said at the top of the show, everything was just going sideways, and it's just starting to get to me. Like, we've spent a whole hour talking about this, and it's just like, if there are super coach gods out there, for the love of you, can you please give us a break? The poor mortals that you've been bashing over the head with lightning bolts for the last 4 weeks, please.
Yeah, there's no guarantees, Cheeso. As I said, it might be a...
I said I wanted reassurance!
Hard, difficult journey until the buys at least, so... Yep. Keep your chin up.
Keep grinding, community.
Get your chase down ready.
Keep grinding.
Get your running shoes on, and we'll see if you can chase everyone down during the buys.
Patented Cheeso chase down. I'm known for it. Thanks for sitting down with us, community. Thank you, Pistol, as well, for all your advice and fence sitting as the podcast has gone on. We really hope you have enjoyed. You can find us on all the socials, Dr_SC for the main page on Twitter. We've got Cheeso_DRSC, Pistol_DRSC, and JB_DRSC. Don't forget to check out the merch store if you do want to help us help support us with things like that. Until the next episode, have a good week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.